Seth Timmons watched as Laura Dawson and Kitty Blaine pointed out the sights to Celia Beale as they walked up the carriage road that rose from the western entrance of campus, just a couple of blocks from the Berkeley train station. There had been severe rainstorms over the Christmas holidays, so the dirt road was muddy, and Strawberry Creek and its tributaries, which bracketed the campus, were running at full spate. Since it was now 8:15 in the morning, at least they weren't having to make this trip up the hill in the dark. He marveled at how adroitly the three women kept their skirts from getting soiled, and he was reminded strongly of the delicate movements of a filly he once owned, who hated getting her hooves wet. Miss Celia Beale seemed the most confident in her steps, which surprised him, given her shy, mousy demeanor. He'd only met her a few times, always under the shadow of Ned Goodwin, so perhaps his first impressions were inaccurate. Laura said Miss Beale's family ran a dairy farm, so he guessed it stood to reason she'd be well acquainted with mud. As for inaccurate first impressions, he'd initially assumed that Kitty Blaine, with her frequent blushes and fancy duds, was some flighty society miss who was marking time until marriage. He couldn't have been more wrong. She was probably the most brilliant scholar among all the freshman class. Wasn't just that the most difficult passages of Livy and Homer were child's play for her, but the mathematical language of algebraic equations and plane geometry, which continued to be a mystery to Seth, came as easily to her as did Greek and Latin. Then, of course, there was Laura. When he'd first met her at San Jose Normal School, he thought of her as cultish, awkward, and immature. He'd quickly learned to appreciate that the awkwardness came from an enthusiasm for life that often led her to leap before looking, and that the immaturity was simply an experience. But when she stumbled or made mistakes, she got back up quickly, apologized, and, most importantly, learned from those mistakes. She was also, to his mind, breathtakingly beautiful. Tall, slender, and elegant, with large expressive eyes, high cheekbones, and a determined chin. Her hair, piled in thick curls on the top of her head, was, like her eyes, the dark brown of rich chocolate. And she had soft, full, rose-colored lips that he'd kissed once and dreamt about nightly. But he would never act on those dreams. He cared about her too much to risk exposing her to the dark places in his heart or his nightmares that could sweep away even the sweetest dreams. He'd seriously lost his temper once in her presence, and he'd almost lost any chance to ever see her again. He couldn't stand it if the warmth he saw in her eyes when she looked at him ever turned to fear. As they came to the first of the bridges that crossed Strawberry Creek, Seth noticed Kitty looking at the six cottages sitting among a grove of eucalyptus trees to their right. These and two others further up the hill had been built when the campus first opened to provide housing for students. Since then, with the university enrollment, now over 200, a number of hotels and boarding houses had sprung up to accommodate those students who didn't live in Oakland or San Francisco. There were even two newly built fraternity houses for well-to-do students like Ned Goodwin. He knew that Laura worried about Ned's decision to move into the Zeta Psi fraternity house. Personally, Seth welcomed the change. This morning's hour-long trip, first on the ferry, then on the train, had been considerably more pleasant without Ned's constant boasting and immature jokes. As the girls reached the second bridge, they turned onto a narrower path that went directly through a beautiful stand of ancient oaks on the way to the four buildings at the top of the hill. Seth paused to look back over his shoulder to the bay. On a clear morning like today, the hills of the city and the wide opening of the Golden Gate looked close enough to touch. He'd appreciated the 3 weeks between terms, a needed break from trying to balance his schoolwork with the 50 hours he spent running a printing press. But it was good to be back on campus. He always felt he could breathe just a little easier when he got away from the noisy, crowded streets of San Francisco.